ELC Radio.
Love God, lift others.
Welcome to Elevate Life Church. Now, sit back, relax, and enjoy another elevated message. Here's Senior Pastor Sergio Limone.
Guys, I'm excited to bring you the word today. Hey, I'm always excited about bringing the word because it's an awesome privilege. And there's power in the word of God. That's why we do this. This isn't us just gathering around a guy making a speech or preaching a sermon. It's about gathering around the very word of God that brings transformation, that brings change. And my prayer is that this word is going to impact you in a powerful, powerful way. And if you missed any of the previous words we talked about last week, Jesse brought a powerful, powerful word that if you missed that, go back on our Facebook page and watch that. You can also catch all of our sermons on our YouTube page and also on our Facebook page. So just scroll down the videos there and you'll begin to watch those. But today I want to start a brand new thought, a brand new series that I'm calling Restore Your Roar. Come on, somebody. Restore your roar. That's what we're talking about here. And we're going to jump into Acts chapter 4, verse 13. It says this, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. And they realized that they had been with Jesus." Let's pray. Holy Spirit, I just pray today that you would indeed restore people's roar. Restore them to the place that you died on the cross to get us to, Father. Restore us, Father, if we've lost anything or made mistakes or we've shrieked back because of things that have happened because of this pandemic. I pray today, Lord, through this word, you would restore people to their proper place of boldness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Acts chapter 4 is where we're starting, and it's a really cool scripture that talks about a characteristic that the early followers of Christ were known for. And that characteristic was the characteristic of boldness. In the scripture in verse 13, it says, "When they saw the boldness of Peter and John, it caused them to marvel." In other words, it got the world's attention. It got people's attention. And when they had that attention, this is what it made people realize. It made them realize that these guys had been with Jesus. Wow. My prayer this morning is that we get back to that boldness in our lives. We can be a church and you can be a believer where the characteristic that summarizes your life is that you're bold. And I'm not talking about just a personality type. You say, "Oh, Pastor, that's not really my personality. I'm shy. I'm reserved." Listen, this goes beyond that kind of stuff. This is a supernatural boldness. It's the boldness that Peter and John had. And it's a trip because, see, the world first looked at Peter and John and they said, "Oh, man, these guys are uneducated. And they're untrained men. These guys don't know nothing. They ain't been nowhere. They're scrubs." I mean, that's basically what they're saying about these guys. I've always loved this scripture because it gave me hope. If God could use uneducated, untrained men, then sign me up, Jesus. Because as a 19-year-old young man, that's what I was. And I would read this scripture and get such great faith from it. Like, wow, I'm in the right place. If that's the kind of people that God uses, I qualify. But see, even though they're uneducated, even though they're untrained, there was something that captured the hearts and minds of the people they were speaking to. And that thing was boldness. And it was their boldness that made the world see, wow, these guys have been with Jesus. So what do we take from that scripture? Well, we take this. When you spend time with Jesus, you ready? It's going to make you bold. It's going to make you bold. Doesn't matter if that's not your natural tendency. Doesn't matter if, well, pastor, you know, I'm shy. No, what the scripture is telling us here is spending time with Jesus will ignite boldness in your heart. I truly, truly believe that. And that's something, folks, that we need in this day and age. We need boldness. Now, many Christians mistake brashness for boldness, okay? The world always has a counterfeit for the things of the Spirit, always has a counterfeit. See, Satan can't create things. He can only pollute things. He can only twist things. And many times what people think boldness is, it's not bold at all. It's brash. Let me give you the difference between brashness and boldness, because we don't want to be brash, but we definitely want to be bold. The definition of brashness is someone who is hasty, reckless, abrasive, rude, self-serving. That's what the world might consider. Oh, that person's bold. They just keep it 100. Come on, somebody. No, you're not bold. You're brash. Here's the definition of what boldness looks like. Boldness is this: willing to take a risk. Boldness is confident. Boldness is courageous. Boldness is selfless. In other words, I don't care what you think of me. I'm going to speak truth and love. See, there's a difference. There's a contrast in boldness and brashness. And I think too many times people have looked at brashness and they said, now that I don't want that in my life. Good. I don't want it either. But I definitely want boldness. The difference comes down to two root things. Number one, it's what motivates brashness or boldness. And brashness, according to the dictionary, is motivated by self-serving. Man, I've been around some preachers that they thought they were being bold, but they're really being brash and rude. And sit down at restaurants and they order people around and they, hey, I need this and we need this. And, you know, and they're just so brash. But in their mind, they thought they were being bold. There's a difference. Boldness is not self-serving. Boldness is courageous. It's an air of confidence, right? It's not an air of pride. Now, these two things run side by side, but one is kingdom, the other is of the world. I want to make sure you understand the kind of boldness I'm talking about today. The kind of boldness I'm talking about today is not a boldness that is rude. You know, you see Christians out there, and you've even seen preachers in the name of being bold, preaching down, preaching condemnation to people, preaching at people, and it's so brash in a way that it's not producing fruit. Nobody is looking at a mean preacher and going, oh, they've been with Jesus. I don't believe the early Christians were like that. Turn or burn, you know? Repent or you're going to hell. I mean, I don't think it was like brash like that. And I realize a lot of Christians have thought that that's bold. Oh, wow. They're really telling it like it is. Is it bold, though? Or is it maybe self-serving? Is it a piousness that's going with that? Look at me. I'm bold. No, you're brash. I believe the genuineness of the early disciples was a boldness, and it was strong, it was confrontive, but it had love. It was a willingness to take a risk that I'm going to go into this city and they may throw me into prison, but even though that might happen, I'm going to preach the gospel so that somebody might be saved. And they did that. And they did it with great confidence that the world marveled and said, why are they so confident when they obviously have never been to a college or a university? They've obviously never been anywhere. They're just fishermen. Yet they speak with such confidence. Guys, that's what I'm talking about happens when you spend time with Jesus. We get that holy boldness that in this series I'm calling your roar. It's your roar. Look at Acts chapter 4, verse 29 through 31, because it goes on to talk more about that characteristic of boldness that was in the early church that I believe we need to have as Christians. Verse 29 through 31, it says this, "Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And listen to this. And they spoke the word of God with boldness, with confidence, right? With willingness to take a risk, courageous. That's what they did. Acts 4:29 is amazing, and I want you to catch what's going on in here, because we need this spirit today. And I don't know if the church in America has this spirit, but we need to get it. You see, in the face of persecution and threats, look at how the early disciples prayed. The early disciples did not pray, "God, they're making threats. Take away their threats. Take away the attacks." You know what it says? It says, "God, they're threatening us. Give us boldness to withstand it." See, we kind of have a mentality of God, take away the hard times. God, take away the confrontation. But the early church had an understanding that if God was with them, who could be against them? Their prayer was never that something, you know, that was going to happen wouldn't happen. It was always, "God, give us the boldness. Give us the ability to go through it victoriously." Guys, that's a spirit we need to return to the church. That no matter what's going on in the world, the upside down, no matter what they throw at us, God, give us the ability to walk through it. Give us the ability to withstand the attacks. Give us the ability to stand in the storm. Come on, somebody. And that's how these guys prayed. But what was the ingredient that they prayed for when they knew threats of persecution were coming? You know what the ingredient was? It wasn't more power. It wasn't, "God, send your angels. God, send an anointing." You know what the prayer was? "God, give us boldness that we may speak your word." Listen to what the boldness was for, because I believe boldness is the key ingredient to preach in power, to heal the sick, and to perform signs and wonders. That's what they prayed for boldness for. Again, look at the scripture. "God, there are threats coming, but give us boldness to preach in power, to heal the sick, and to perform signs and wonders." Could it be today the reason we don't see much of this is because our churches have lost their boldness? They've lost their roar. Could it be in your own life the reason your voice doesn't have power? The reason there's no power in your life to heal the sick or to perform signs and wonders on your job? Maybe it's because you've lost your roar. I believe God wants to restore that to my life, to the church, and to your life. Because boldness is an ingredient, according to the book of Acts, that is needed for power. It's needed for power. Now, we're not the only ones that know this. And some of you are finding out this for the first time. But somebody else knows this. Satan knows this. Satan knows that if he can keep you and I from being bold, he can keep us from walking in power. Right? Power in our marriages, power in our businesses, power in raising our kids, power, period. If he can get us, if he could steal that ingredients of boldness, he can keep us powerless. And I believe that's what he's doing in America to so many believers. And if you're watching this today, I believe God wanted you to see this so that we could restore your roar. Because God needs you to be bold, not brash, abrasive, rude, not that, but bold in your witness of Jesus Christ. So what does Satan do to try to steal our roar? Well, he does and moves through, he moves through this thing called intimidation. He moves through a spirit of intimidation. He tries to intimidate you and I from being bold in our witness. He tries to make us feel foolish. He tries to make us feel uneducated, like, oh, you can't show up at work talking Jesus and Holy Spirit and all this. They're going to think you're crazy. And these voices that the spirit of the world throws at us many times cause us to shrink back. And we become, instead of bold, we become intimidated. Now, this is a battle that goes back in the beginning of the church. 2 Timothy 1, 6 and 7 talks about this. Now, Timothy was a young man. Hands were laid on him by his grandmother and his mother and the apostle Paul. They imparted gifts on the inside of him. They put a supernatural anointing as a young man to lead this church. But the Bible says something happened. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, 6 and 7. It appears that Timothy has gotten away from that bold minister. And now his gift, it's not working the same. You see, I believe Timothy lost his roar. Some of you have lost your roar. You remember how you were when you first got saved? You remember how bold you were in your witness? You know, statistics will tell you that people lead more people to Jesus the first year of their conversion than any other time in their walk with God. You know why? Because that roar is fresh. But then Satan many times comes and he steals that roar. And this is what he was doing to Timothy. They put him in as the pastor. I believe he had a strong preaching gift. But then Paul is writing and he's trying to encourage him. And he says these words. He says, therefore, I remind you, Timothy, 2 Timothy 1, 6 and 7. He says, I remind you, stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. See, what this scripture is saying here is that Timothy's gift was beginning to go to sleep, was beginning to go dormant. It was weakening. And so Paul, as an apostolic father, writes to Timothy and he says, stir up that gift. It's in there. He says, I know it's there because I laid hands on you and I put it there by the grace of God. And he says this, God has not given you a spirit of fear. Now, in the original Greek, that's actually translated into the word timidity. God has not given you a spirit of timidity, but instead he's given you power, love, and a sound mind. Now, we've been in a time through this pandemic where the forces of hell have unleashed a spirit of fear that has covered the globe. And I don't care who you are, you felt it. Many of us churches rose up with a message early on last March that said, faith over fear. And what we were trying to do is go, no, don't let fear grip your hearts. But can I just tell you, It's been a year-long battle. Some of you are still fighting that fear. Anxiety. Some of you that never, ever experienced anxiety in the past year were having panic attacks. In the past year, had to get prescribed medications. And listen, you're not alone. This has been a spirit that has been released upon the whole globe, the whole world. And we've all felt it, even me. There were days I was afraid of what was going to happen to the church, what was going to happen in my personal life, what was going to happen to my dad, who's 85 years old. I mean, fears we've been bombarded by over the last year. And I've had to encourage myself by 2 Timothy 1:6 and reminding myself that God has not given us a spirit of fear, a spirit of timidity. See, the word fear there means timidity. And fear and timidity had caused Timothy's gift to go dormant. In other words, it caused his gift to lose power. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but every believer has been gifted things by the Holy Spirit. Did you know that you have gifts? Spiritual gifts. You have gifts in business. You have talents. You have abilities. And you know, the thing that causes your gifts from God to soar is faith. It's boldness. But the thing that can kill your gift and cause you to go from being an excellent salesman to a mediocre one and even a poor one is timidity. And Satan knows this. So it can cause a person that's on fire for God to diminish and now just become a normal church member that does nothing. I see it time and time again. Well, folks, we got to wake up. We got to shake off timidity off of our lives. You see, Paul prescribes the answer and he says, man, you got to stir up the gift of God. In the original Greek, that term stir up means you've got to fan into flame the gift of God in your life. Fan it into flame. In other words, you got to get lit. Oh, come on, somebody. Not that kind of lit. But you got to get lit on the power of the Holy Spirit. You got to get time with God. Because remember, what was the characteristic they said of the people of God? By their boldness, they could be said that they had been with Jesus. The flip side. Through our timidity, the world can tell we don't even know Jesus. Guys, a lot of my preaching has been about, in the last 6 months, has kind of been about drawing a line and going, hey, this is what we need to be. And if you're here, these fruits are showing that you're not really a follower of Jesus Christ. Listen, I can't apologize for that. That thing that's coming out of me is not coming out of me to judge people or cast stones. It's coming out to put a plumb line. To say, get on this side, get on the kingdom side, get after the things of God. Stop fooling yourself into thinking that the mediocre Christian life you're living is okay. It's not. Come on over and let's see God restore your roar. That's what I'm believing for. I'm believing that God's going to do that. Now, let me read you Hebrews 13. 5 and 6, it says this, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things that you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, Jesus says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? See, these scriptures, these promises, these things that are in the Word of God are there for you to fan your gift, fan that thing into flame. Get lit once again. Stir up the gift of God by the promises of God that are in the Word of God, by the charge to the early Christians and to you and I to be filled with boldness. See, God wants us to be bold, yes, to complete a mission, but also because boldness is the ingredients where you can live your best life. That's right. I know the world trying to tell you how to live your best life. You can never accomplish your best life outside of Christ. But if you come into the kingdom, Jesus will tell you the keys. He gives us the keys to the kingdom. And one of the keys that unlocks your best life, the height of your gift, causes you to be all that you can be, is boldness. Now look what it says here in 1 John 4:17 through 18. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Man, there is so much in that scripture that I don't have to get to time to get into, but I want to encourage you to study that out. One of the things that says there is this: as Christ is, so are we in this world. As Christ is, so are we in this world. So listen, what are we afraid of? Why are we timid? Why are we unsure? As Christ is right now, present in heaven, so are we in this world. Christ right now is seated at the right hand of the Father. He's been given all authority, and he's given us the authority of the kingdom. As Christ is ruling in heavenly places, so are we in this world. You say, wow, Pastor, that's awesome. But see, why do I have anxiety? Why do I still fear? Why am I so timid to step out in my gifts and start this business or do this endeavor or do what God's called me to do? Why do I struggle with this so much? You want to know why? It comes down to one thing. You need to spend time with the King. You need to spend time with him. You need to spend time with him. And spending time with him comes in various forms. It doesn't just, not just you locking yourself in a room and praying for an hour a day. That's one form of spending time with him. It's not just getting a Bible and a book and studying and diving into the word. That's another form of spending time with him. But you know, there's a third form. What is that? It's spending time with his body. That's right. In community, in fellowship, in the place that God has planted you. See, spending time with your King comes in many different shapes and forms, and it's worship, it's prayer, it's study, it's fellowship, it's church. It's all those things. And we need to have a steady diet, steady pattern, a steady custom of being in the presence of God. Why? Because it's the presence of God that casts out fear. Because God is love, and perfect love casts out fear. Remember, fear and timidity will cause your gifts to go dormant. Fear and timidity will steal your roar. And when you lose your roar, folks, when you lose boldness in your life, life gets tough. The things of God seem impossible. God wants you to have your roar back. So what do we got to do? We got to cast off fear. We've got to put on boldness by the word and with time with Jesus and his body. And this is why you can't buy into this lie of the enemy that, you know, well, I really don't need to go to church anymore because I got bedside Baptist church. You know, I watch online now. Listen, this has been great to do during, you know, this time. It's great to communicate online. It's great to have sermons that you can play in your home and stuff. That's good. And we're going to continue to do it. Don't get me wrong. It is a blessing. But there's also the blessing of the gathering. The blessing of the gathering cannot be replaced. The same way you cannot replace a relationship where you see somebody and you date them and you're able to interact with them physically, you can't replace that with online dating. Oh, come on, somebody. Where you only talk, you know, online chats and FaceTime each other. They're two different things. Now, you can do the one for a while, but at some point, come on, you're going to have to meet that person. You want to sit and have a meal with that person. The dynamic is different. And can I just tell you, it's also different in the house of God. And all those things, folks, we need to restore the roar that Jesus wants us to have. Let me prove also to you in Scripture, Proverbs 28:1, getting tongue-tied there. Proverbs 28:1 proves what I'm talking about. It proves that the righteous are to be bold. Proverbs 28:1 says this, "The wicked flee when no one pursues." Now, that's a message in itself. It speaks of the wicked being afraid when they don't even have nothing to be afraid of. We've seen Christians be like this in the last 6 months. Oh, this is coming. Oh, that's coming. Is it? Because the Bible tells me that sometimes when we're wicked, we get fearful. But look what the next part says. But the righteous are bold as a lion. The righteous are bold as a lion. Folks, boldness is to be a characteristic that you and I are known by. Boldness points to the fact that you and I have been with Jesus. It's a characteristic that we have to value, we have to build, and we have to check ourselves on. Am I a bold Christian? Am I a bold witness? Am I bold for Jesus? Because if I'm not, I need to spend time with Christ. Because listen, the kind of life you want to have is on the other side of boldness. Fear is keeping you from the life you want, right? Singles, fear is keeping you from asking somebody out. Fear is keeping you from taking a chance. But boldness can unlock something that you desire. Fear has kept many people from starting a business. Fear has kept many people from tithing and getting involved in God's economy and in the house of God. Fear has kept people from stepping into their ministries. Fear crushes your gift. But fear is not supposed to be the characteristic of the righteous. We're to be bold. I believe many Christians in our day and age have lost their roar. And folks, in the next few weeks, we're going to talk about how to restore your roar. Because if we can get your roar back, and some of you might say, well, man, I never even had a roar. Don't worry, we're going to get you a roar, okay? Because it is a characteristic of those that have been with Jesus. And some of you, you know it, and even as I'm talking about this, you get emotional because you know you're not where you're supposed to be because somewhere along the way, the enemy took your roar. And you were on fire for God. You went to school, you had a vision. And somewhere an experience or a lie came and stole your roar. Let's get it back, y'all, okay? We must restore our roar. Now, let me leave you with this thought as I'm wrapping up, and I'm gonna get more into this next week. But, you know, as we're talking about bold as lions, as it says in Proverbs, and restoring our roar, it causes us to have to look at the animal that roars. There's really only four animals in the animal kingdom that roar. I believe it's the lion, the tiger, a jaguar, and possibly a cheetah, one other cat in that family. They're the only animals that roar in the animal kingdom. But the one that's most famous is the lion. Now, let me give you some characteristics about the roar of a lion. See, lions many times use their roar, and their roar is so loud. They say the roar of a lion can be heard for up to 5 miles away. Guys, 5 miles away without any sound system, amplification. Do you know how strong that roar is? And why do lions roar? Well, people that study these animals have found that lions roar to scare off intruders. They roar as a defense against their enemies. Their roar literally keeps their enemies away from them. Can you see why you need a roar? If you just had a roar, you wouldn't even have to fight as hard as you're fighting. If you were just bold in your lifestyle, you wouldn't have to fight half the battles that you're fighting. Your roar, your boldness, your presence would keep battles from you. That's what a lion uses a roar for. Lions also use a roar to warn the pride of potential dangers. It's been studied that lions will roar to let other lions know, hey, there's an enemy around. It's like they blow the horn to bring a warning. The roar is also known as a demonstration of power amongst other males. So all these reasons lions roar. And there's this one too. Male lions will roar as a governance, in a governing way. And it is said that the roar can be used to stop fighting amongst the pride. Sometimes the younger lions will begin to fight and begin to stir up dissent and division amongst the pride. And studies have found that when the male lion, the alpha male sees it, he will roar and the fighting will cease and the lions will fall back into order. Guys, wouldn't you want to have that kind of roar in your family, running your corporations, doing business? You know what the roar speaks of in the spirit? Authority, governance. It speaks that you know who you are, courageousness. But let me tell you something. As I close today, there are three things that cause a lion to lose its roar. That's right. Because studies have found that when lions are brought into captivity, they don't roar. What is it that causes a lion to lose its roar? Well, the first thing is being in captivity. You know what has stole some of your roars out there? Being in bondage. Being in bondage to things nobody else knows about. Being in bondage to internet pornography, or being in bondage to gossip. Being in bondage to what many would call little things, a bad attitude, depression. Sure, you come to church, sure, you go to work, you put on a happy face, but people don't know the things you're wrestling with at home. You're in bondage. And just like a lion brought into bondage in a zoo, you'll lose your roar. But guess what? In the weeks to come, we're going to get that back. Second thing that'll cause you to lose your roar is the same thing that causes lions to lose their roar in a zoo. And you know what it is? They say a lion loses its roar when it stops hunting. It stops hunting. In a zoo, they feed the lion the same time every day, and he doesn't have to get up and chase any animals, get up and hunt anything. You know what's going to steal your roar? Are you hunting anything? Are you pursuing anything? You know, Jesse got in here and talked about vision. Do you have a vision, or have you completely lost it? Have you completely given up on it? And now you're not in your eternal purpose. You lost your roar. We're going to get it back. The third thing that they have found that causes a lion to lose its roar is isolation. Isolation. When they take that lion out of the wild and they put it in an area at the zoo, they put it by itself, it stops roaring. Some of you have become so isolated. You're not connected to a community of believers. Even in this time of watching church online, you love it. You stay in your bed, you drink your coffee, but you're not connecting. Your family's isolated. Guess what that's going to do over a period of time? You're going to lose your roar. But we're going to get it back. Amen? Give me some amens in the comments there. We're going to get it back. You see, lions lose their roar in captivity, and so do Christians. There's many things that steal our roar. Religion brings us into bondage. We lose our roar. Sin will get us to lose our roar. Isolation will cause us to lose our roar. And not having a proper vision and purpose will cause us to lose our roar. That's why the local church is so important. Because in the local church, we can deal with all those things. Guys, it's time to restore your roar. Because God wants your gift to work at its highest level. Your business gift, your relational gifts, your spiritual gifts. And we're going to take a journey over the next few weeks because I want our church to be a bold church. Because people that are timid don't heal the sick. People that are timid will never see signs and wonders. People that are timid aren't going to see their kid healed of certain ailments, certain problems, certain depressions. I want our church to be a place where we can be a lighthouse. I want to be a church when I go before the Father to ask Him to heal. He moves on our behalf, but it's going to take boldness. It's going to take a roar. Let me pray for you today. Listen, God didn't save you to have a mediocre life. And you're living way below the new life that Jesus wants you to have. There are so many blessings on the other side of boldness. And we're going to look at those things in the weeks to come. Now, Father, I pray for everybody that is watching right now. Lord, you said to the early church that a characteristic of their lifestyle, the thing that brought miracles, power, the thing that brought change and turned their world upside down, the thing that got the attention of the world was the boldness in their life. I pray that you give us a spirit of boldness in the weeks that are coming, that something would rest upon our lives, our church, and that you would begin to unlock and pour out blessing upon blessing, that you would fan into flame the different gifts of people watching this, different gifts of people in the church, people that have a gift of business, but it's only been functioning at a low level. Fan that thing into flame. People that have a gift of hospitality, fan that thing into flame. Whatever their gift is, I believe in the weeks to come, you're going to fan it into flame. And I believe, Lord, today you're restoring our roar. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Listen, do not miss these messages in the next few weeks. And I want to encourage you to come out to the services, 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. We're going to be having special prayer for people that have felt like their fire has gone out, that their voice has been silenced. And we're going to believe God to physically restore roars in people, the roar of authority, the roar of boldness in their lives once again. And I hope you can join us. That's 9 and 11. And if you're not able to, we will continue to be here online for you at 10 o'clock every Sunday. We love you guys, and I'll be praying that God restores your roar. God bless you. Well, I hope you've been encouraged by the Word of God. And if you have, go ahead and subscribe to our podcast or download our free app at the App Store, and you can continue to get Word every week from Elevate Life Church.